This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, Sturf, what are you doing?
Oh, hello, Bella. Oh, I'm just making an Easter basket, filling it with lots of treats and goodies for our fans, you see.
Don't you usually put, like, I don't know, jelly beans and chocolates in those?
Hello, don't be so pedestrian. Our fans are individuals with refined taste. We've got to measure up.
I don't know, Stir Fry. That's a lot of hooves to put in an Easter basket. And all these thorns?
Thorns are herb, Cordelia. Thorns are herb.
You don't need to worry about wowing people with your Easter basket.
But why, Cordelia?
Don't be a fool, Stairfry. You know good and well our fans will be swept away in joy and ecstasy after our in-person live show the night before.
Live show? Oh, you mean Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders.
Yes, it's Saturday, March 30th.
Right. And we're doing it in some back alley in some nameless old town?
No, Sturf. We're doing it at the Bell House, right in the heart of Brooklyn.
Oh, of course. Now I remember. Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders. Live at the Bell House on Saturday, March 30th. Doors at 6:30, show at 7.
And tickets are on sale now. I just bought mine at rudetalesofmagic.com.
This is fantastic. And you know what? I'm still going to add a few tumbleweeds to my Easter basket just to spruce it up.
Those freaks will love it.
You heard right, Credence. The Class Dismissed Gang returns to the stage in an all-new live show. That's Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders, live at the Bell House in Brooklyn, Saturday, March 30th, 7 p.m. Buy your tickets today or be tortured to death. Welcome back to Rude Tales of Magic. We've got a spooky episode for you tonight. Or should I say, to fright. That's right. Or should I say, that's fright. To Fright's episode is extra scary in honor of Halloween. It won't be released on Halloween, but it's still in honor of it. There's no rule that says you can only honor Halloween in October. Or should I say, there's no ghoul? But why would I say that? Because in this spooky episode, there might be many ghouls. Is this clear? Is the logic of this joke collapsing in on itself? I feel like I'm doing the pre-taped call-in show bit. Anyway, happy Halloween, eventually!
The poet Sprite Grape once said that the sun never sets on Piss Harbor. I'm not sure what he was talking about, because right now, it's night in Piss Harbor. And Sprite Grape was executed 600 years ago, crucified by the Pope for stealing his horse. Just another night in Piss Harbor where the sun has set. But despite what I said in that last sentence, this isn't just a typical night in Piss Harbor. No, this is Binge Night in Piss Harbor. An annual night where all crime, it's legal. The thinking here being that people will binge on crime during binge night and get it out of their system for the rest of the year, which they, of course, will call purge year. If you think about this the exact amount that I did, the names make a little bit more sense this way. I anticipate no confusion whatsoever tonight. Binge night. We open on a burning school as children in Halloween masks dance around it in slow motion, holding machetes and grenades. Just one of the grisly images you can expect on binge night. The nearby palm trees burn in solidarity with the school. From a nearby apartment, a superintendent looks out of his window sadly. The children, they don't want to learn anymore. Not like how they usually do. Truly, this is a sign of the times. He swirls a glass of brandy before taking a sip thoughtfully. But no matter. These are tomorrow concerns. For tonight, I am going to tear the tag off of my bed mattress. I am not above the temptations of binge night. Why, even this brandy is illegal, for I am 14 years old. We move through the... We move through the night down a road, soaking wet with the piss of public urination, before finding ourselves inside of a hardware store. Environmental graffiti explains the deal of binge night to anybody watching the theatrical version of tonight's episode, and maybe they misjudged how many trailers would play, and so they went to the bathroom and they missed the first few minutes of the movie. These people, they exist, and they're as deserving of narrative as the next man. We weave through the aisles before finding ourselves in an aisle of chainsaws. Most of them have already been shoplifted, but several remain. Three bounty hunters observe them. Who are we looking at here?
Closest to the camera, you see a small stone gargoyle in a blood-soaked tutu and a blood-soaked corset. Her little vanity wings peek out the back of the top of the corset where there's lacing, and they're twitching irritably, excitedly, hesitantly, and excitedly. Is this chainsaw too big? I just don't know. I've never been on binge night before.
Neil, when it comes to chainsaws on binge night, no chainsaw is too big. Standing next farthest from the camera is Moose. Normally, he's dressed in a pastel-colored suit with sleeves rolled up to the elbows, but tonight, it's binge night, and instead he's wearing a brown leather vest with no shirt on underneath. He's got a red bandana around his head. He's sort of like tossing chainsaws around, sort of trying to get the weight of the perfect chainsaw. Ah, this one feels right. He lovingly pats a candy apple red chainsaw.
Well, if you say so.
From around a corner, a centaur trots over carrying two big jugs of gasoline for all these chainsaws that you need. If you've ever seen the Van Halen music video where there's like a centaur like in the background who's like a really big buff guy with like bleached like blonde hair and like big sunglasses and like biker mutton chops, and like he's really muscular and like sunburnt, and he's like, he's just in that background of that one Van Halen music video. That's what this guy normally looks like. That this is Jonathan Large, but tonight it's binge night, and he is wearing a big horse mask over his head. Okay. God, he almost looks like he's definitely just a horse. If it weren't for still those big, muscly human arms and torso.
I think we're going to have enough chainsaw juice for everyone to have a good time tonight. Gasoline. We can also light things on fire with it if we need to.
Arson's on my list. I made a list, like you suggested, a list of crimes that interest me.
Neil, that's freaking awesome. I'm so glad you're manifesting your desires for tonight.
Thank you, Jonathan.
You're welcome, Neil.
Neil, all those years perched atop that church, I thought maybe one of them you would have climbed down and done some binging, but I guess not.
No. I remained a steadfast sentinel. But oh, the confessions I heard the next day. Horrifying, brutal, strange. Their voices, though, they sounded a bit relieved. Does that make any sense to you? You've done binge night before.
Yeah, it makes a little sense. Yeah, I'd say it does. God, leave it to a statue to not enjoy the one night off a year.
Moose, come on. Set it aside.
Never. You don't know my history with statues, okay? You don't know it.
I've simply never asked.
I know.
She turns towards the checkout.
Oh, Neil.
Yes?
Here's the coolest part. You can steal it.
What?
We can steal all of it. You don't have to pay for a thing.
Theft is on my list. I'm crossing it off already.
The cashier behind the cash register, who's dressed like Tank Girl, nods to you solemnly. And the cashier speaks to you and says, "That's right. All crime is legal on binge night. This is my night off, and I'm disobeying the law by coming into work."
Whoa! Illegal overtime. Hell yeah.
Yes, fuck labor rights.
That's right, yeah. The good people of Fist Harbor worked hard for strict labor laws, mm-hmm. and tonight they do not apply.
Get them.
I bet you're 11 years old under that mask, too.
They take off the mask. They're 10.
Whoa.
The unmistakable difference between an 11 and 10-year-old is clear to you.
Binge night!
They pound their chest, and then they raise a bow and arrow at you, and they say, "Best be getting out of here."
Oh,
this is exciting.
Is that a law?
No. No law that says you have to leave, except the law of might, and they let slip the arrow, making an attack roll on you, Moose.
Oh, no.
Moose!
It goes right past you, right over your head. They go, "Huh? Oh, I thought you a human man, and that's why I shot 2 full feet over your head."
Maybe you'll figure out how to aim when you're 11.
they aim another arrow at you and say, "Don't give me a reason."
Moose doesn't move an inch. He knows a 10-year-old could never hit him.
Moose, you were right not to move an inch. That was a critical fail. They let go of the arrow. The arrow stays put, and they go flying back like 100 feet through the facade of the store.
Moose turns to his friends. "I wasn't sure that was going to work, but it really worked."
That was awesome.
Binge night.
You're normally not allowed to make comments like that against the various species that populate this city if you are an employee of a hardware store.
Moose revs his chainsaw and then tosses it through the shop window.
So it had already been shattered by that kid going through.
Yeah.
And it shatters again. The glass, the laws of nature prevent the glass from reforming itself. And so, of course, on binge night, the glass had reformed into a plate of glass and it shatters again.
Now, remember, Neil, on binge night, nobody uses doors.
Badass. She finds a chimney.
No, Neil, that's why I made the hole in the window.
Yeah, she's already climbing up and out of it, going, binge night.
Oh my God.
Binge night.
You climb through the hearth of the hardware store.
Jonathan Large grips Moose by the lapels of his leather vest and says,
"She's doing a reverse Santa Claus. The most horrible crime you can do. She's getting into it. I love it."
Put me down.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh.
Just outside the window, a ash-covered Neil drops to the ground and says, "Come on!"
You're followed by like a dozen Santa skeletons that all fall onto you.
She bats them away excitedly.
Around you on the street are like 12 different screenwriters, and they all get an idea for Gremlins.
"Pay me!" She yells at them as they run away to write their script.
"No, we can rip off any ideas we want tonight. I'm Chris Columbus."
He flies away on a broomstick. It's a scene of chaos. There's burning buildings around you. There is a full-grown man wrapped in Christmas lights, walking slowly, holding a hockey stick with a sword tied to the end of it. He seems to be just, like, looking for trouble. Nearby, a child hits a wooden hoop with an axe, shouting, "Die! Die! 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 My brother turned into a wooden hoop!"
My God. Oh, it's nice to see sometimes when civilization gets a little bit too hoity and too toity to see that we are all the same animals deep down inside. At least to me, a man who was a horse about 2 years ago and have only recently come to enjoy the morality of man in this half of a man's body.
Yeah.
So as you're walking down, just like down the street, sort of taking in all of the chaos of binge night, you've got your chainsaws, you've got your gasoline, you've got your cool outfits. You pass by a burning dumpster, and inside of it, you hear a voice calling out to you.
Guard!
We don't have to answer that. That's our boss. That's Maybelline. We don't have to answer. It's binge night. We don't have to do it.
But I still feel tied to the life. What if there's somebody out there who needs punishment? This is the perfect night for it. I can do all sorts of things and not feel guilty.
Well, yeah, Neil's got a point. Let's listen to Neil.
Neil, the life will be waiting for you tomorrow. Tonight we binge.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I was really hoping to, like, steal somebody's house tonight.
You can still do that. What's stopping you?
On the job, though.
We're not taking the job. Maybelline, I'm sorry, but tonight we're binging.
All right.
Maybelline, I said I would do what they want to do tonight. We're binging.
Hey, look, it's binge night. Whatever you want to do is what you got to do. I can't stop you guys. Just a shame about all that money.
Wait, there's money?
Did somebody say money?
I did.
It was Maybelline.
Moose runs over to the dumpster and, like, sits down in front of it like crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, so does Jonathan Large, times two.
Yeah, and Neil goes over and kneels.
Rising up out of the dumpster, you see Maybelline Moonlight, your bounty hunting agent. She's half elf, half orc, and all woman. And 0% on fire?
I can explain. Usually I'd be getting burned alive to be inside of a burning dumpster, but not tonight. Because I coated myself in something scientists are calling double water. It prevents burning, but it is said to have strange side effects. I don't know what the... And then at that, she briefly grows to the size of an elephant, and she bellows in agony. No! 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 No!
She returns to normal size.
Damn! That's been happening all night.
Moose leans over to Neil and whispers,
"Arsonists hate her."
I bet.
Jonathan leans into Neil as well.
It's one weird trick.
She's so hydrated.
That I am. All right, well, I got a target for you guys if you're interested. You don't have to take it.
Let's just hear her out.
What money?
Okay, here's the deal.
And she pulls up a visual Kenku out of the dumpster, but it wasn't coated in double water. It's just a charred skeleton. She hits its skull and it just, like, disintegrates into ash. She goes,
"Oh, damn this night. Damn this lawless night. Oh, well, I'll just have to give you a verbal description of the culprit. Your target tonight is Drogo Universal Healthcare, a human man from the distant north. You'll recognize him from his perfect Dolph Lundgren-like bone structure. He stands an impossibly and even grotesquely tall 6'4", in what height critics are calling too much, and he wears dark sunglasses, even in blackest night. They don't seem to impair his vision, and he's proven himself perfectly capable of outmaneuvering all who pursue him. He's wanted for walking into a bank and stealing, and I quote, everything they got. Usually the cops would handle a case like this, but because it's binge night, all of them exploded as soon as the sun set, due to the fact that they are creatures of pure law. Because it's binge night, he's technically not wanted, and so it's illegal to bounty hunt him. But because it's binge night, there's nothing to stop you from bounty hunting him and taking his entire stolen bank fortune, minus my 10% cut, of course. But be careful, because he's not bound by any law on this godless night. But be reckless, because neither are you.
All right.
And Jonathan Large finally figures out how to... He's been fiddling this entire time, and he's finally managed to attach the chainsaw to the semi-automatic rifle that he was able to lift earlier that evening. It clicks satisfyingly.
All right, I think I've got all I need.
So you guys are good to go? Do you have any follow-up questions?
We can do whatever we want to him.
Anything you want. Nothing is off-limits except what a podcast audience would send an angry email about.
Got it.
That makes sense.
Tough but fair.
That's me.
I would never offend a podcast audience.
Oh, you say that, and then it's an ever-shifting minefield of bullshit.
I think they sound great.
Oh, no, they're great. No, the cool ones who are laughing at this riff, they're great. Yeah, no, most of them. All it takes. Anyway, do we have any actual questions, or are we just going to shadow box with our fans?
I just got to make sure this money is good. This is, after all, Neil's first binge night.
We got a first.
It's my first binge night.
A lady's first binge night is a special thing.
Yeah?
Collect a scalp for me.
Okay.
But the money's real. He did really steal from a bank. I guess there's nothing to stop me from lying to you, but you gotta think, who would profit from that? Why would I bother to do that? You guys are my friends.
Maybelline, any ideas where we can find him?
If I had to guess, I'd say he's probably around the bank. Or the financial district. Where the bank is. So, the financial district. More specifically, the big bank.
Okay, all right.
It'll be the one that there's no cops around.
Ballsy, to rob the bank and then stay at the bank.
Yeah, well, it's binge night.
That's true.
There's no cop. You can stick around. I bet you, so I'll only take 9% if I'm wrong, but I bet you he is leaning against the bank right now, whistling, flipping a coin up and down.
You couldn't possibly know that, Maybelline. I'll take that bet any day.
But if I'm right, I get 11%.
Ooh, all right. And hey, he's robbed the bank, but Jonathan.
Huh?
Maybe instead of stealing a home tonight, you steal a bank.
Could I live in a bank?
Yeah, you do like a conversion.
Oh.
You know, it has kind of a cool factor.
That would be a dream come true.
You could put a toilet in the vault.
And I have both bribery and forgery on my list. I feel like we could knock those out with the money. Or making fake money.
All right, well, before we head out, Neil, I believe you had arson on that list.
Yes. She lights a match and throws it into the dumpster.
Maybelline nods.
I understand.
And as the dumpster burns even more, she goes, she swells to the size of an elephant.
No! No, 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 no! Save yourself! Oh, no, no!
Kind of upsetting.
Neil, that's so amazing. You've never gotten to do that before?
I may have actually checked that one off before. I may have.
Hey, you know what? I never let anybody ride on my back. But it's binge night, so I guess I'll break a personal rule. Hop on, you two. Let's get down to Finance Town.
Yeehaw! She jumps on, and she is so happy.
Oh, God!
I heard a snap. I heard a snap.
It's okay. I'm gonna,
solid stone.
I gotta tense it up. Tense it up. Good posture. Okay.
Can you make a constitution roll for me, Jonathan?
Yeah. What gave it away? The noises?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I gotta be honest. That is a one.
A one?
Natural one. That's a one. It's a one. It was so close to the 15 right next to it, but no, it's a one.
Motherfucker, you are not giving these people a ride to the financial district. You need to find a big horse-sized wheelbarrow or you're not going anywhere. She broke that thing.
Yeah, I...
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I forgive you. Just... But I need like a little wheelbarrow or a car.
Neil, looks like tonight's another first for you. And Moose pulls out a gun.
Yeah. What? First or a last?
Oh, yes. That's of course you have to destroy an injured horse. Of course.
No, wait. She's still holding her chainsaw, and she turns it on, and then she chainsaws a car in half.
Oh.
So then she pulls the back half and slips it under Jonathan's back hooves.
Oh, that's nice. That's comfortable. Thank you, Neil.
Are the front hooves okay?
They're all right. I think I could probably handle a steering wheel, a stick shift, and a gas, a brake, and a clutch with my front two hooves. Go ahead, tuck it all under me.
Okay. She pulls the front of the car up.
Tucking two halves of a car under you.
Yeah. Also, I'm wielding a chainsaw gun.
I'm glad we finally got to the point where cars are just a thing.
Oh, shit.
No, it's good. I'm glad we've gotten here.
Yeah, no, this is good. No, nobody stopped you, Allie. That was... I had 2 minutes to stop you at any point, and I didn't. We have cars now. What? We only have one, and it got cut in half.
Okay.
Now that I'm more machine than man, I think your Uber has arrived. Get in. Beep, beep.
Seamus, we don't have to kill him.
Okay, you convinced me for now.
Neil hops in to the car.
We cut now to the financial district. Strange. Here on Binge Night, nothing looks that different in the financial district. Just a little bit of cutting political satire from your friends here at Rude Tales of Magic. You see, these people, they break the law every day, and they get away with it. They don't even care. They live so far above the common unwashed masses like you and I. They don't care. This is a normal night for them. In the financial district, you pulled up. It looks like no crime is occurring whatsoever.
Jonathan turns on the headlights of the car, trying to find Drogo flipping a coin outside of a bank, as he was promised he would find.
Can you turn those headlights on, and can I have you make a perception roll for me? With advantage, you got headlights.
Oh, thank you so much. Jonathan has a poor wisdom, so that's a 9.
Okay.
And another 9, incredible.
You're going to have to take one of those 9s, but luckily you can take the higher one because you got advantage.
The second one felt more earned.
All right, so you take that one, you turn on the headlights, and you don't see this guy. You hit a bank, and inside you see a banker who hisses at you, and he scurries away.
Well, I got nothing in this particular direction I'm aiming my headlights at. He may have gotten away.
Moose has dark vision, and he's just going to look around generally.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah, you got dark vision. You look around generally, and make a perception roll for me. Not with advantage, because fuck you.
That's fine, because I got an 18.
God damn it! All right, you look around, and you see him. There, almost like several feet away from where the light of the headlights hit, you see Drogo Universal Healthcare. He looks cut from marble. Neil is literally cut from marble, but yeah. This guy looks cut from marble in the fucking ripped way. He is shirtless. He has spiked, obnoxious spiked blonde hair. He's got a perfectly symmetrical face. His features look like they could cut glass. He has pouty lips, and he's leaning against a bank next to a huge sack of money with a big dollar sign on it.
Branson, I want to be super clear about this. Is he leaning against the bank he robbed?
Well, you don't have any real way of knowing that for sure, right? All you have is the images, and you can put that context together. There is a smashed window to that bank.
Okay.
There is a trail of stacks of $100 bills leading from the bank to his bag.
Okay.
And he is flipping a coin. And the coin, with your dark vision that's so fucking good, you can see the coin says property of the bank next to Drogo Universal Healthcare.
Oh, no. Looks like I own Maybelline 1%.
Where? And then Neil sees him. Oh, my gosh. Dibs.
Not for long. And Moose pulls out his handgun again and shoots this guy.
Oh, come on.
Incredible. Make an attack roll on this man.
That is a 17.
17?
Yeah.
Wow, that hits on a different show. Because on this show, what happens is Drogo Universal Healthcare, he looks up and says,
not today.
And he steps to the right. The bullet misses him. It ricochets off the bank, and it flies into the other bank where there was the hissing banker. From inside, you hear, "Ow!"
Impossible. I had near-perfect aim.
How fast did he say not today?
Quickly. Slow bullet. You know what? Guns are relatively new technology here. You have time to, like, talk a little.
Yes. They haven't figured out the speed part yet.
Who are you shooting at?
Jonathan is, like, looking every which way, very panicked, underneath his horse mask.
Drogo Universal Healthcare steps forward under a streetlight, and he is completely illuminated. You see he's wearing dark sunglasses. They glimmer under the streetlight.
Hello. Have you come here to take my money? Why bother? Why not just steal from one of the other banks here?
We haven't come for the money. We've come to take you in. And also the money.
Interesting. I knew you were going to say that.
Listen, mister, it's binge night, and we're binging, and we don't feel like going into the bank. We feel like taking it from you. So give us that money. And then she turns the chainsaw on again, threateningly.
He scoffs.
A chainsaw, a gun, your weapons are useless against me. Drogo Universal Healthcare.
Oh yeah, healthcare, check this out.
And Jonathan raises his chainsaw gun. It's both. And he fires a whirring, hissing, smoking chainsaw right at him.
Oh, I really misunderstood you. I thought it was a chainsaw that shot bullets, but this is a gun that shoots chainsaws.
Yeah.
Chris, once again, I've underestimated you.
I wish you'd stop underestimating me.
And yet you've underestimated Drogo Universal Healthcare because
what? No.
Before you've even pulled the gun up, he has stepped out of the way and your attack misses him completely.
Haha, fools! Just let me have my money! We do not need to be enemies here on this night. I promise you, you do not want Drogo Universal Healthcare as an enemy.
Very well, Drogo. Why is that? Why should we be friends and not enemies?
Because I have glasses on my head, which let me see 3 seconds into the future.
What?
No fucking way.
Your sunglasses?
That's right.
That's so cool.
They do create a bizarre psychic effect for me where I constantly feel a little bit drunk because I am always hearing what is about to happen as well as what is happening. It's like a weird double vision kind of thing. But yes, I have sunglasses on my head that let me see 3 seconds into the future.
If that's true, then tell me, and Moose raises a fist, how many fingers I'm about to hold up.
One, the middle finger at me.
Moose raises his middle finger. Damn it!
Nice!
And so, you see, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've proven the ability of my special glasses. Now, why don't you just leave me alone, let me steal from the bank, and you can even steal from your own bank here. I won't stop you.
All right, that sounds fine with me. Hey, Neil?
Yeah?
What do you think? It's got some interesting opportunities for your first binge night, for like how many levels of rule breaking you can do here.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I was really looking for some insurance fraud or drug possession, but I suppose either battery of this individual or stealing from the bank will have to do.
Here's what I'm saying. If you can get your hands on some future glasses,
oh,
you can go absolutely bonkers on crime tonight.
Oh,
you can really knock it out.
Okay.
Just a pitch. I think this is a... You know, I think our mistake here is, like, coming at this guy from the front.
Oh.
This is a clear case of a sneak attack.
So don't just ask him.
He's got to not see it coming.
Don't, okay.
And also, Moose, I am not a smart man. I want to be very clear. But I also have the feeling that we can't even see it coming. You know?
I got to agree. On paper, I am a smart but not wise man. So I got to agree.
Looking at your character sheet.
I've got a pretty good constitution.
And me, I am dexterous.
I am wise.
Neil, tell us what to do.
If this isn't naturalistic dialogue, I don't know what is.
Neither do I. I'm not a smart man. I'm an 11 smart man.
On a scale of 1 to 20, with 1 or 20 being an insane extreme,
I'd put my intelligence at about a 13.
Someone is leaning back in their chair, putting their hands behind their head and saying, finally, they're using their sheets.
This is what you wanted, by the way. Anyone who wanted us to use the sheets, this is what it was going to look like. He's like, okay. Well, it seems like you have all decided, or will decide, at least in the next 3 seconds, not to attack me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go murder an old friend of mine, Tommy Whistle.
What did you say?
Oh. Well, I already know you're not going to react to it well, but I'm going to murder an old friend of mine, Tommy Whistle. He bested me for a romantic rival in our youth.
So it seems that you are a man who can see the future, but you're also a liar. Because the Tommy Whistle I know has no friends, to a fault. He seems incapable of declaring someone as a friend or acknowledging them as a friend, or like even admitting that their social pleasant activities amount to friendship.
It is a character game he clings to like a small dog with a toy, isn't it?
And as they're talking...
This is mean. He's not here to defend himself. This is actually crosses a strange psychic line I've drawn.
That hat's pretty big, though, right? I mean, like, how big is that hat gotta be?
As they're talking, Neil backs up into the shadows. She's covered in ash, so she disappears completely. And as she backs up into those shadows, you realize that she's going the other way, away from Drogo, but next to the building. And as soon as she gets in the shadows, she just turns and runs and starts circling the building to, like, run at him from the other side of the building.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if her speed is correlated to her strength, pretty fast.
Sure.
She makes it to the other side of the building.
Well, let me ask you a question, Allie. Let me ask you a question, because I think this is an interesting point.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah, we use dexterity to determine people's speed. But let me ask you a question. Are you using your muscles to run?
That's so interesting. I am.
Okay. Now, every other D&D character uses their nimble fingers to run, apparently. So this works fine for you.
Which is great, because were I to use my nimble fingers, I would do poorly. So she runs using her muscles around the entire bank and then runs directly at Drogo to make an attack kick.
3 seconds before you connect with him, you hear him shout, "Oh, the back of my skull!" And then he ducks. And you go sailing above him, and you miss him completely.
Does she come flying at us?
Yes.
Hey!
Yeah, she launches past him, and then, I guess, probably kicks Moose right in the chest.
Actually, Neil, I need you to make an attack roll on your friends.
Oh, no! Binge Knight. Oh, I did so good! I got 17. I'm really going to hurt my friends.
17? What are your constitutions?
Mine's a 15.
Okay.
My constitution is 13.
13? So you do a flying kick and you hit both of them. You hit Moose into Jonathan Large.
Oh, no!
Duh! I respect this as part of your strategy.
And Jonathan, like, crumples into two again, losing his grip on the front and back half of the split car that he was piloting.
Ugh. Binge Night isn't all fun and games.
Get off of me, you god
dang
statue!
Sorry. Neil very slowly gets off of Moose. I'm sorry.
Never do that again.
I was trying to attack Drogo.
Never do that again.
She squares off and starts to glare. Make me never do that again.
I've been waiting for a reason. Putting a statue in their place, why, couldn't ask for a better job.
She turns her chainsaw on. This statue is gonna fuck your ass up, bitch. And she jumps at him again.
Make an attack roll on Moose.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I got an 8.
Okay, that's not, you're not gonna hit. You pull on your chainsaw and you launch yourself at Moose. But Moose, you see this coming. It takes a second to rev a chainsaw. You can tell what's happening here.
Yeah.
Moose, what are you gonna do?
Moose is still, Moose got the wind knocked out of him. But with just moments to spare, he ducks and rolls away. As he does, he reaches behind his back from, like, tucked into the waistline of his pants. He pulls out a chisel.
No.
You son of a bitch. You wouldn't dare.
He, like, spins it in his hand.
It's binge night, Neil. Everything is dare.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Boy, were those ads convincing. And we're back.
Moose, squaring off against his ally, rival, unclear, Neil, readies the chisel in his hand and leaps at her.
Midair, as Moose is leaping towards Neil, Neil throws the chainsaw away, and then she spits on the ground, and it hisses righteously, because within her, of course, as she is a gargoyle and not just a grotesque, she has a spout in her mouth that leads directly to holy water. And she says, ready to be a virgin again? And she jumps at him.
You're both jumping at each other in midair. Yeah, it's like anime style. I need you both to make attack rolls on the other. Whoever rolls higher gets the hit.
And if it's anime style, she's like, the spit is, has like surrounded her in like a spiral, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The spit of holy water.
This is my roll tonight. I got an 18.
Fuck, I got a 15. Fuck.
The chisel connects. Moose, what happens?
Moose aims it squarely for, like, where Neil's solar plexus would be if she had, like, a normal skeleton. He goes right for the center. Now, when he connects, he pushes her back, and they fly into the wall of the bank. So she's pinned now against the wall, and he's got the chisel pressed against sort of the center of her chest.
Has he dug in yet or no?
No.
Moose! Don't do it.
Above everything, you threaten to make me a virgin?
And you, hating me for seemingly no reason.
No reason? You never asked. I've got a reason.
All right, fine. Tell me.
It was years ago.
I was just a boy. In the Dwarven Kingdom, Mount Stone Rock, maybe you've heard of it?
I have.
Well, it was an idyllic youth in many ways, but I was the youngest of my brothers. There were 12 of us.
12?
12 brothers. And sometimes they played with me. You know, played tricks and practical jokes and the like. Pranks, if you will.
Of course.
One day they brought me into the square of the great dwarven city in the heart of the mountain. And they said, look, Moose, look, a new statue has arrived. And I stared up upon this beautiful sculpture of a man, a warrior. He was proud and tall and strong, and I marveled at the incredible dwarven craftsmanship of this statue. It was awesome. I said, brothers, yes, our city has never known glories like this.
Fucking Norm MacDonald over here.
Moose, I don't understand. Why would this make you hate me?
Let me continue the story.
There's more?
Of course.
Oh,
my brothers, they encouraged me. They said, Moose, go closer and go closer to the statue. Inspect the marvel of this art. And so I did. I got close. I got so close. I put my tiny little dwarven face as close to the statue as I could. And that?
Yes?
That, Neil, is when the statue's face turned to me and yelled, Boo! It was not a statue, you see. It was merely a performer in silver body paint.
Were you on a boardwalk?
I said I was in the main square of the Dwarven City in the heart of the mountain.
Moose!
The brothers, all 11 of them, they laughed and laughed at me. For years after that, they called me the Statue Fool. I was so ashamed, Neil. I was so ashamed. And I swore from that day forth, I would never let another statue get the better of me.
Moose, your story of trauma does not satisfy me. She spits on his face.
Neil, is that just spit or is that holy water?
It's holy water. And it's the kind that makes you a virgin again. Is that a specific kind?
That's not a kind I'm familiar with.
Okay, but that is a thing you could do, right?
No, what?
Why not?
No, yes. I mean, like...
I mean, sure, we're playing a makeup game.
It depends on the sect of Christianity.
She spits holy water on his face and makes him a virgin again.
Moose, we flash into your head, and we see the faces of hundreds of women from your past as they all cry out at once, and then they're silenced and they disappear. We see a memory of Maybelline Moonlight under a white sheet, just like with sunlight streaming in. She's like, Moose, Moose, wake up. Wake up, Moose. Oh, no. And she's pulled away, and the sheets disappear, and she's gone. And you're a virgin.
Happy binge night.
Moose stumbles back, stunned. It was all there, and now it's all gone.
No moves, no lines, no rhythm.
But I love having sex.
You can still... You can have sex again. You can have sex again. I've simply taken your skill and your knowledge and your experience from you.
Part of what I enjoyed about having sex was how good I am at it.
And part of what I like about being a statue is being treated like anyone else. She says, so self-righteously. Your story of woe did not move me.
Yeah, Moose is gonna leap back at her with his chisel.
Dang it, no!
Moose, make an attack roll on Neil.
9!
3 seconds before you're able to even think to strike, Jonathan reaches out and clutches your chisel hand and gives you a kiss of forgiveness on your cheek with his left hand, no, his center face.
You see that Jonathan Large is wearing Drogo Universal Healthcare sunglasses.
It might be binge night, but we don't need to binge on hate.
Jonathan, how did you do it?
Huh? Do what? Oh, I have these glasses, so I was able to see where he was aiming for you, and I stopped him.
How did you get the glasses?
Oh, now that's a story.
And so from nearby you, next to you, tied up in the big bag of money with just his head sticking out, but it's tied tight. Drogo Universal Healthcare, he says, do you want to tell the story or should I? It's quite a yarn.
Why don't we take turns?
Okay, the weirdest way to tell this story.
But most collaborative. And I usually don't collaborate with my enemies. But it's binge night.
So there I was, dragging all of the money away. And as we say this, we go to the scene and we actually see it play out. Drogo Universal Healthcare, he's got a 3-second head start and he's dragging all of the money away. He's leaving a trail of $100 bills, but
What does he fucking care? He's got a huge bag full of cash. He's dragging it through the alley, laughing to himself, saying,
I'm sure to get away scot-free from this one.
Jonathan Large lies on the ground, his spine in the shape of a U. He is so broken.
Wait. Wait, my friends are too busy indulging in their basest instincts, and I am injured.
No, I won't wait. I'm going to take my money and go. I have no need of you people. I offered you my friendship, and you spat at me. You pushed my hand away.
Please, it's binge night. Binge on a second chance.
Sure, why not? I have the complete upper hand here. I have glasses that let me see 3 seconds into the future, and you have a broken spine on the ground. You are no threat to me.
Precisely.
Why not? My race is already won. In fact, I could even just lay up against a tree and take a little nap. That's how far ahead of you I am right now. Truly, I am the hare.
Okay, I'm asking for your help with my injury.
Oh, sure. How can I be of assistance to you?
Straighten out my fucking spine, man.
Interesting. Straighten out your fucking spine. Yes, of course. Okay, I'll see what I can do.
And he walks around and he grabs you by the top of the head and the shoulders.
Yep.
And he just sort of adjusts. And he goes, okay, now. Oh!
Ooh. No, that would kill you. Okay, what if I do a little... Oh! No, that would have killed you too. This is a bit of a pickle.
You're so close. Hey, I can tell you're afraid to practice medicine without a license.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I'm a bank robber. I'm not a monster. I don't want to kill an innocent man. I don't want that on my hands.
Hey, don't worry about it. I'm only half a man anyway. Why don't you try to practice veterinary medicine without a license?
Oh, okay, yeah, this is truly, if I'm reading this correctly, truly a dark and low moment for you as you ask me to put you out of your misery. I'll do what I can.
He's got a hand around your neck and he's like ready to snap your neck.
Any last words?
Oh, I guess do a good job.
I'll do what I can.
And as he goes to twist, and your neck is so strong and overdeveloped.
It's a little difficult. It's a little tricky to... Hold on. Let me just readjust my footing.
And as he tries and tries, and on the third one, he really puts some English on it, and he knocks his sunglasses off of his head.
Jonathan Large reveals that he's been doing horse yoga for a very long time indeed. And he straightens his spine, extending his body out like a springy rocket, aiming his eyeballs at those new sunglasses, catapulting through them into the night sky.
Oh no! Is this the end of me? Failed by child's pose?
This is just your beginning. Jonathan Large lands on all fours, trotting around, kicking up dirt, wearing cool future vision sunglasses over his normal cool sunglasses.
So now, Jonathan, what you can see, you see real time and you see what's actually happening. And you also, like in Mario Kart when you're racing your ghost, you know how like you die at the end of Mario Kart and your ghost races or
yes.
something? I don't know the metaphysics of it, but you see the ghost of everything that Drogo Universal Healthcare is about to do in 3 seconds. And you see a ghost charging at you and he pulls a knife from his belt and he stabs it into your neck. You feel the phantom pain in your neck as you see now with the present, you see Drogo Universal Healthcare reaching into his belt as he begins to charge at you.
In slow motion, Jonathan Large realizes everything.
I would rather that not happen. Burn!
As Jonathan like kicks up a front hoof to block the blade.
Yeah, the blade hits your hoof, and it gets stuck in your hoof. It goes, oh no, oh no! And now you see Drogo Universal Healthcare. You see the ghost split off from him now. And he goes around you, and he's looking, and he's panicking. He picks up a gun off the ground and aims it at your head. He fires, and the bullet in slow motion heads towards you.
Jonathan Large is confused for a moment as he sees himself in ghost mode standing next to Drogo Universal Healthcare, taking the gun and pulling it away, and then remembering to wave at himself in the past as he's already catching up to the idea that he can see so much in the future at that moment. He says,
"Oh, hey, Jonathan."
And then Ghost Jonathan says,
"Hey, Jonathan, don't forget to grab this guy's gun, like, right now."
And as the word "now" happens, you feel the gun and you grab it.
Whoa, catching up. What a rush.
He looks around. He looks to his left. He looks to his right. He goes, "Is that worth dying over?" And he turns, and the ghost begins to sprint, and it slips on one of the $100 bills. It slips, and it face plants.
No. I don't want you to be so humbled.
And Jonathan gallops to save him from tripping too hard.
He dodges you. He says, "No, I know your tricks. I know you're lying to me about the future. And now it's time to..." And he slips on the $100 bill and he face plants. He's knocked out.
Shame. Well, let's go see what my friends are doing.
And we cut back to the present.
I hope this made everything perfectly clear.
It was an exquisite corpse. And we see now, Moose is now completely clean shaven. And his formerly open leather vest is now buttoned up.
Oh, no. Neil is beginning to experience a bit of binge night regret already, but she swallows it down. Jonathan.
Neil.
Great work.
Oh, thanks.
I guess we can just split up the money and go our separate ways. I guess binge night's over.
No, Neil, it's hardly over. We've got so many more crimes we can do tonight, including not going to bed at a reasonable hour. Is that a law?
Not a law.
I still have a lot more on my list. You guys want to keep binging?
Baby, I'm born to binge.
And we cut now to a series of sequences, a montage around the city of the three of you committing binge night crimes, getting everything out of your system before the terrible purge year begins. What do we see?
We see the gang at a mattress store ripping the tags off of every bed mattress in sight.
The owner nods approvingly. "I always hated those tags."
We see everyone in the headquarters of the Internal Revenue Service as Jonathan Large desperately searches for his tax return to write down a different number on it.
You see Neil digging up very old graves and then putting the dirt back on them.
Moose is at a mailbox sending letters, threatening letters to all of his brothers.
Neil is at a over-the-counter pharmacy aisle, and she's putting like Tylenol and Advil into her pockets and sort of looking around like, "Is anyone interested in this drug possession that I have going on?"
A pharmacist shakes their head at you and says, "What a weird crime."
Moose is walking around a neighborhood and forcing every home to quarter soldiers.
She's got a long line of soldiers. You're knocking and they open. They go, "Fine, let him in."
Jonathan Large stands in front of a quaint two-story small house with a small yard in the front. It's surrounded by skyscrapers. It looks adorable. He's been scoping it for months now. He cocks his chainsaw gun.
I have to do this. It's the only way I can own a home.
We're behind you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Neil.
Jonathan gallops into the house and does whatever he has to do to claim ownership of this building for his new home.
Yeah, the owner of the house is like, "No, please, please don't chainsaw through all the paperwork that names me as the sole owner of this home."
"I'm doing it!"
You decapitate him.
Oh, well.
Buckets of blood are pouring out the windows as we stand outside. Moose and Neil stand outside watching. He did it.
It's my house now!
Moose and Neil, as you watch, you feel the first little glimmers of daylight as the sun begins to rise over the horizon.
There's one more thing I must do. And Moose runs down the street and up the stairs, the imposing stone stairs of a library.
Inside, the card catalog is put into complete disarray. Books are thrown every which way. He douses them in oil and lights a match, setting the whole building ablaze. And as he walks back down those steps, he carries one book, not checked out, under his arm. That book, Sex for Dummies.
It's got the little guy who looks like the guy from the Descendants album, like pointing a finger. Yeah,
but he looks weirdly pleased.
Yes. He's got lipstick marks all over his face.
Yeah.
As Moose exits the library, Neil smiles at him, looks down to the sidewalk and scuffs her shoe, catching sight of her chest, where she sees there's a word chiseled there that wasn't there before.
It's actually two words.
What is it?
It says, "Can move." As a warning to others who might think Neil is just an inanimate object.
Son of a bitch.
Sparing future passersby from the shame that Moose has carried with him since his youngest days.
She is furious. Their rivalry is fueled even hotter.
We'll have to tell that story another day, because this day has only begun. That's right. The sun has risen in the sky and it's morning, which means our episode has come to a thrilling conclusion. Good night, everybody, or should I say, good morning.
That was Allie Fisher as Neil, Harley Monardo as Edgica, Christopher Hastings as Jonathan Large, Joe Lepore as Moose, Tim Platt as Tommy Whistle, and Branson Reese as everything and everyone else. Rude Tales of Magic is produced by Bucket of Milk. Edited sound design by Michael Wolf, with additional sound design from Michael Gelfie. As always, special thanks to Tyler Button and Sydney and Benjamin Paul. See you later, alligator.
No spooky pun. I'm dry.
Dry as a bone.
My bones are wet.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.